Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
And let's get into the Word this morning. How many are ready to start a new series? I am ready. I am ready. I've had about 2 weeks off, and I've had enough. I've had other people filling in for me, which is a great break. We appreciate all the help and stuff. We wouldn't be able to do it without the help. And so let's go to Ephesians 2. So we're thankful for that. But a preacher has to preach. You know what roosters do, right? They can't help it, right? Roosters crow, right? Every morning they crow. Why? It's in them. Preachers preach. That's what they do because it's in them. So that is this. Actually, I don't know whether you realize it or not. The bulk of what I'm called to do is just teach and preach. The majority of what I'm called to do is to give myself to the Word of God in prayer. Why? So that I can feed you spiritually. If you go out of a church service and your head feels heavy, but your heart isn't stirred, then you ran into intellect, not gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, a gift to minister will incorporate head knowledge. Obviously, you got to use your head. Okay? Jesus didn't say that you were transformed by the removal of your mind. He said the renewal of your mind. Okay? So you should feel like something happened inside you. And I don't know whether you realize this, and I'm going to teach more on this as we go, and I'll keep kind of dropping seeds in you about it. I'm not, when somebody stands behind this pulpit, or somebody is called to be an apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist in the body of Christ, you shouldn't look at them. You should look at ministers as cups. Because the gift that I minister out of has nothing to do, it's a gift of God. I didn't put it in me. It's God's fault. Now I can do what I want with it, okay? It's just like, have you ever seen like a secular artist and you think, man, listen to them sing. And they sing about the nastiest stuff, but yet their voice is just amazing. They're taking the gift that God gave him and yielding to Satan and selfishness and using it for their own gain. I believe there are motivational speakers out there that have a gift from God. That's why you look at it and you're amazed by it. But they're just using it for themselves. So ministry time and word time and looking at the Word of God, don't focus on a person. You know, there are people like, I won't listen to white preachers. I won't listen to black. They look at the cup. I'm just thirsty. If you're in the desert and you need water, it doesn't matter if the cup is purple, black, red, yellow. Do you understand what I'm saying? It doesn't matter, right? What has that got to do with anything? Does it matter? What's important? The Spirit. The Spirit, that's what's important. And besides that, you know, being upset about somebody's background, religious background or denomination or color. I mean, being upset at somebody for the color of their skin is like hating somebody because they have red hair and you have blonde. You can't control what color your skin is. You didn't get to choose. How many got to choose when you came out? Like the doctor handed you a sheet. What would you like to be? No, you didn't pick. God picked. You know what I mean? So glory in God's choice, glory in God's gift. And as I honor you as a pastor and honor the gift that God's put in me, and you honor the gift that God's put in me, He'll give us more understanding and revelation. If you disgrace and despise what God has given you, you think, well, I don't really like this and I don't really like that and I wish it was this way and that way. You will receive less and less. and your own life will just get darker and darker. And you'll, and people, Christians do this. They dishonor where they're at. I don't know why I'm off on this, but it's good anyway. They dishonor where they're at, and they pray that God will give them more light. And God's going, it's connected to where you're at. Make sense? So this isn't about, you know, even this church. It's not me and Heidi's church. Listen to me. It is not me and Heidi's church. We're just called to lead it. It's God's church. And if God told you to be here, then your church is here, and it's your church too. And you will be held accountable for what you do where God placed you. Oh, that was exciting. People, but if you understand eternity, and you understand judgment, and you understand reward, you'll get excited. And you'll get involved in what God's doing. And you'll follow it all the way to the end. Because when this is all said and done, I know Christianity's kind of sold people a bill of goods. They think, well, I'm going to get to heaven and everybody's going to have the same house and on the same street and everything's going to be equal. Wrong. God is not a socialist. Come on and preach. God is a capitalist. He is. What did Paul say? There'll be those in glory or when we go on that will shine brighter than others. What did Jesus say? He said, I gave you this, and then these, with the, as far as the talents were concerned, he gave each one talent, and the man who did nothing with his talent suffered loss. And he did, and what else did he suffer? He lost the talent he had, and it was given to the guy who had 10. Does that sound like socialism to you? Sounds like reverse. Why? Because God does care, and he has blessed you, and he's given you gifts, and he expects you to do something with it. He expects you to. He expects you to. Now, depending on where you're at and your understanding in that, you'll need to grow into it. But you better take it serious, because he's serious about it. You know, American gospel is, at times, it feels like, you know, God will just do whatever you want him to do. And sometimes, even in the word of faith, people think that's what we're preaching. No. No. God is not required to put his blessing or his anointing on your plan. In fact, he won't. He'll only put his blessing on his plan. Well, that's not fair. Well, that's immature, first of all. But secondly, remember who God is. It's not us. Well, I don't feel like doing this. I know, it's right. We get to submit to him. And when we do, boy, you want his blessing. You want his favor. You want everything he's got for you. It's just like what Mike was saying in the offering, or in the tithes and offerings. It's the same principle. You want where he has you more than anything. What doesn't look good? I know, you get to use your faith. It's wonderful. It's exciting. How are we going to get to the other side? We're going to walk on the water or split the sea, one or the other. I don't know if you realize it, but we've been growing and growing and growing and growing. And you guys have been growing and you've been developing spiritually. And we're about to break into something more. Another level. Hallelujah. Oh man, I could almost run. Woo! Because God isn't looking for, and in you, what does that mean? That means the test is on. Because the people say, well, why is God letting this stuff happen? God's not letting anything happen. The enemy's trying to take you away from what God has called you to. He wants to remove you out of, because he looks down there and he goes, guys, we got a problem in Billings. I'm talking about Satan. He's a military leader, you know. We got a problem. But what's the problem? That Faith Family Church is the problem. We've got to divide them. We've got to cause problems. We've got to stop them from. We got to get people offended. We got to get. Come on. We got to get people distracted with other things, because they're getting too strong. Thus saith the Lord, I just prophesied to you. Be aware. Okay. Because he's going to try. But the blessing of the Lord It maketh rich. And what does it add? No sorrow, no trouble. You know what that word means? No pain. If your prosperity is painful, it may have been added by you. But if it's not, it was added by God. Amen? Okay, I'm going to get into the teacher mode here. Okay, Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to open up a new series called By Grace Through Faith. There's a lot being said in the world today about grace and about faith. I wanted to hit this. I felt like the Lord said, you can teach on this and it will bring illumination. It'll bring understanding to our minds on this subject and help us grow and develop spiritually. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And let's pray real quick. I've already prayed, but I really need the help of the Holy Ghost to get this out. So are you going to believe with me? All right. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for this new subject that you've given us. Lord, this word is from you because it's out of your word. Lord, we can't understand it without the Holy Spirit. And you know, we know that you've given us the Holy Spirit. So Holy Spirit, I ask you to give me utterance and boldness. I ask you for minds and hearts that are receptive and open. And Lord, that grace and truth will come forth and that we will walk in paths of light that we've never seen before as we just break into this subject this morning in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. So I'm going to read through this and then I'm going to just make some comment about this first part. And it says this, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love," come on, we sang about that this morning, "with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Verse 7, "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his" what? "Workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." All right, I'm going to stop there, and we're going to go back over this. If you're taking notes, let's go ahead and define grace straight off. What is grace? Now, there are several different words for grace in the Bible. I shouldn't say several. There's probably a couple. A couple is probably a better word there. There are a couple of different meanings for grace. Most people understand grace as undeserved or unearned favor. Okay? I'm going to give you a couple of definitions, and the first part of grace that we're going to talk about is that part. You might call it, and this is what it's translated in Vines as, divine favor. Grace is divine favor. It means to cause favorable regard on the part of the bestower. So who is the bestower of grace? God is, right? So he is, like, if you go back to the first definition I gave you, divine favor. Who is divine? God is divine. And it is his favor that is coming to you. Okay, let me read a little bit more here. "It is the friendly disposition from which the kindly act proceeds. It's graciousness, loving kindness, goodwill generally. Grace is given to us because God is loving and merciful. Grace is an action based on God's nature, not based on our performance." Okay? This is divine favor. Did you see that? Grace is an action based on the benevolence, the goodness, the mercy, the loving kindness of the one who is dispensing the grace. You see that? See, God's helping us already. In other words, God is gracious to us because he is loving and merciful and kind. And he's gracious based on his nature, not based on your performance. Come on, this is how we can sing, He loves us, oh how He loves us. Because we live with us. Right? And much of the church, and even, of course, the world, but much of the church doesn't even understand true love. We just don't. Now, we're believing for more understanding. But graciousness or grace is given to you based on God's nature. It is divine favor. Do you deserve a favor? No. Do you pay for a favor? No, you don't. You can't pay for a favor. That's not favor. If somebody does you a favor, you didn't pay nothing. You got all the blessing and none of the work. Isn't that interesting? That is what this part of grace is right here. So, let me read a little bit more here. In respect, there is stress on the freeness and universality, its spontaneous character, as in the case of God's redemptive mercy, and the pleasure or joy He designs for the recipient. Wow, isn't that interesting? In other words, God's grace is motivated, or God's loving kindness and mercy motivates an act of grace for the purpose of what? God gets pleasure in the fact that you got pleasure in His grace. Well, I didn't deserve it. I didn't earn it. Exactly. That's the point. Do you know how hard that is for people? Because we are so works-minded. Well, I go to work and I work and then I get a paycheck. And if I do better at work, I get a bigger paycheck. And if I know more than the next guy, I can charge more. Come on. I can get paid more. I'll get a raise. That's our mentality. But with God, His loving kindness supplies everything. In His grace, He supplies everything first because it's His nature. Now, we're going to get into this deeper. It doesn't mean that you just get to live however you want. Now, there's a whole extension of the grace teaching that people are teaching that. You just do whatever. It doesn't matter. It's all God's grace anyway. Well, except you're saved by grace through... Oh, so it's not all grace. I'll put it to you like this. Grace is God's part. Faith is your part. Make sense? Okay, so let's go back to Ephesians 2 verse 1. And this is about as far as we're going to get today. But it will get you going anyway. And we're just going to take a bird's eye view of this passage right here and the message. And then as the weeks go, we'll define grace through the different types of grace through the scriptures and then also give examples of it. And then we'll go through faith and do the same thing. Does that make sense? And we'll look at the different graces. Ephesians 2:1 says this, "And you were made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." Let's look at that verse 1 there. You were made alive... When you were what? When you were dead in trespasses and sins. How did He do that? People say, He's God. Yeah, that's a good answer, but He wants you to know how. Jesus does not have to be re-crucified when you give your heart to Him. How did He do that? How could Jesus pay the price for all sins for the people that are not even alive yet? Some of you are searching. No. Don't look up here because you won't find it. You got to find it in here. It was a what? A spiritual act. Is there time in the Spirit? There's not. How do you put a time limit on eternity? The definition of eternity means there's no limit. There's no limit to it. So how did He do this? How did Jesus make us alive? He made us alive and all people alive through His death, burial, and resurrection. This is grace because He did this before we knew Him or cared about Him. So what is this an act of according to the definition of grace? This is an act of mercy and loving kindness. It is a supply in the Spirit that is given to a man who doesn't even exist yet, who's not even on the planet yet, prior to them ever coming. It's stored in heaven for the person, every person that will ever walk this earth or has walked this earth. It is a supply in the Spirit given by God through the act of Christ. Do you understand what I just said? Go to Ephesians 1. This will help you. This will help you. When I saw this yesterday, man, I just thought, Lord, you're so much smarter than we are. Paul, an apostle, 1:1. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace to you. There it is. Grace to who? You should write in there, grace to me. Grace to me and peace from God to me. And our Father, who He's my Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. I get grace and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all to me. Okay, verse 3 is our answer to the question, how did Jesus do it? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who what? Has blessed us with what? Every spiritual blessing. Where? In the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:1. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Well, I hadn't received Jesus yet. I know. But in the Spirit, God has provided you're alive. Okay, now think about this with me. He's provided you're alive. In other words, if you could think of it in terms like this, basically, God put our salvation in His spiritual bank. We receive what He has already done in grace when we respond to it in faith and get born again. Every man has been given grace whether or not he receives it. This is how God could redeem all of mankind and yet some of mankind not receive it. Why? Because you're not saved by grace through grace. I said you're not saved by grace through grace. You're not saved by grace through grace. You're saved by grace through faith. So you're saying, Sean, what do you mean? What are you saying by that? That means that in the Spirit, you've, according to Ephesians 1:3, you've already been blessed with everything you need. Everything you need. Everything you need has already been supplied in the Spirit. Why am I not seeing all of it? Because it's by grace through faith. You have to write a check off of what God has provided for you in the Spirit. Come on. How many of you go to the store and go and get a whole bunch of groceries and go to the checkout line and go, and the lady says, okay, that'll be $150. And you go, okay, I got a bank account. Huh? That lady's going to look at you crazy. Checkout lady says, yeah, it's $150. I know, I got a bank account with $13,000 in it. The lady's going to look at you like, what? That's great that you have a bank account. Give me the card. Give me the check. Put the cash in my hand. No, you don't understand. I got a lot of money in my bank account. That's called people thinking it's by grace through grace. It is by grace through faith. What is faith? Faith is an action. What do you need to do to get the $150 from your bank account to the cash lady, to the checkout lady, so you can take the goods home? What do you need to do? You need to give her the card. You need to give her the check. And what do you need to sign at the bottom of the check? Your name. The interesting thing about grace. Ooh, I'm so excited about this statement. The interesting thing about grace is this. You're not signing your name. God provided the account. God filled the account. And then God gave you the name of Jesus. And you receive the grace. Whew! Not fair. No, it's divine favor. I don't deserve it. You're right, but Jesus does. I'm not signing my name. I'm signing His. Come on. Some of you need to just believe it, and then it'll dawn on you in a little bit. Okay? Don't just think, oh yeah, that seems nice. No, that's the difference between life and death. Well, how am I going to get all these groceries paid for? You're going to sign His name. I love it. I just love it. Jesus was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Well, if it was before the world was ever made, that means in heaven, in the Spirit, you have an account with your name on it. And in that account is the blessing that was purchased by Jesus Christ. That's what grace is. That's what grace does. Why? Because how many of us really deserved? If we would have got what we deserved, we'd probably never have been born. It was what Mark was saying during worship. It doesn't matter what you've done. I'm not saying you should continue to live the way you were living. I mean, after you get born again, there should be some change that happens progressively. But what I am saying is that if it was based on your works, you'd never get it. It's based on your response to His work. By grace, through faith. Okay, let's look at a couple more and then we'll stop. Verse number three, if I can find it. I'll read verse 2 first. In which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as the others. There's a lot right there that we could talk about, but I'm going to skip over it right now. Verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, what? You have been saved. Verse 6, and He raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8 is what I want to go over, and then we'll stop. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is what? The gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are His what? Workmanship. Why were we created in Christ Jesus? For what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now look at that word. God prepared beforehand. God prepared it beforehand. Let me read this to you here. Notice here in I'll read over my notes on verse 8 first. Notice here that there are two steps to being saved: by grace through faith. Grace is God's part and faith is our part. Faith without grace is useless. And grace without faith is just as useless. If you have faith but none of God's grace to access, then you're in trouble. On the other hand, if you have grace but you never use your faith to access it, then you are just as helpless as in the previous statement. Come on, there are Christians that are just feel helpless. Why? Because they're not accessing grace because they don't know how faith works. I'm not saying, they haven't been taught beyond salvation. They did it at the beginning, and then, you know, the church does this. They'll teach you. Yeah, you're saved by grace through faith, but then after that, it's just whatever happens, happens. Really, I've never found that scripture. I have dug for that thing. It's all up to God. What? So when in the epistles, when it says lay hold of salvation, lay hold of eternal life, that's all up to God. He's going to take your hand. He's going to put it out there. No, you've got to do something. You've got to respond to grace through faith. It's an honor to be able to operate in faith. In fact, God calls it precious faith. It's precious. On the other hand, If you have grace, but you never use faith to access it, then you are just as helpless as in the previous statement. It is like there is no grace when you do not use your faith to access it. Verse 9, we are not saved by our good deeds. We are not saved by our works. In other words, our salvation is not the result of what I did, but rather the result of what He did for me. Now listen to this. On the other hand, as we saw in verse 10, not working for our salvation, listen to this very closely, is not the same as working from our salvation. Listen to me again. Not working for our salvation is not the same as working from our salvation. Okay, I'm going to say this a couple different ways, so listen closely. Working for our salvation is vastly different from working from our salvation or working out of our salvation. Or we could say acting in faith out of our God-given grace in Christ. I'm not trying to earn love. I'm walking in love out of Romans 5:5, which says, the Holy Spirit has shed the love of God abroad in my heart. I'm not obeying God so that I can be righteous. I'm obeying God because in Christ Jesus, I am the righteousness of God. Come on. What are you saying to me, Sean? Grace through faith. Yes, we need to understand grace, but we better understand faith too. Or you will stand in front of a situation where the devil is trying to take you out and you go, God, please give me. And God's going, it's in the account, write the check. It's in the account, write the check. Maybe he won't be that expressive about it with you. I don't know how he talks to you. He talks to me that way sometimes. You're going, God, why is this happening? He's going, stop panicking. Use the name. What do you mean? When things are facing you, don't stand there as if you have no grace. Realize your account is full in the name of Jesus. It's full in the Spirit. And all you have to do is go, God, where's the promise? There's the promise. In the name of Jesus, devil, I bind you according to the grace of God that's been given to me. And my needs are all met according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, devil, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You have the ability, because you're born again, to use God's possession or provision that He made in Christ Jesus. Just go ahead and take it. People go, well, that's very prideful. It's just whatever God wants to do. It's prideful not to obey His word. And that whole, we just need to do whatever God wants to do, is the ugliest stinking pride, religious pride that there is. You say, what do you mean by that? People say, well, God, Jesus prayed, if it be thy will. In one spot, Jesus prayed, if it be thy will. And that was according to whether he was going to go to the cross or not. You cannot apply that one scripture to everything. Take it out of context. I mean, that is we'll get there one day. I could attack it viciously, but I won't. I'll come at it at another angle at another time. But let me say this. We better look at the context of what's being said and look at the whole life of Jesus. How many times did Jesus pray, if it be thy will, in response to the needs of the people being met? Zero, zero, zero. Why? Because God's desire is that all the needs of the people be met. Everyone. How many times did He pray that in regards to healing? How many times did He pray that in regards to salvation? And if that one prayer is supposed to be the statement over every prayer, then why don't we pray it during salvation prayers? Because it's a doctrine of a devil. It's been twisted. It's been knotted up. People have taken one thing and tried to explain what people might call failures of faith. And they try and explain things away. We are not to explain away His word. We need to realize that in true humility, we'll look at our circumstances and look at His Word, and we'll bow to the Word, not to the circumstances. And from that place, then God can begin to operate in your life. But if you continue to follow the way of religious thinking and the world's thinking, the enemy will take you out over and over and over. And you'll be the believer that ends up suffering things that you don't need to. Because grace has provided and you have the name of Jesus. All you need to do is act in faith. Amen? You say, well, that's different than what I've ever thought. Don't let go of the truth. I'll put it to you like this. If you are going to have victory in your life as a Christian, you've got to develop some stability, some stoutness to you. Do you think Jesus ever faced opposition? Did he? And yet he continued to say what? I'm just going to do what God wants me to do. I'm just going to say what God wants me to say. Please stand with me. I'm just going to do what He wants me to do. Well, I don't understand what you're saying, preacher. That's not okay for you to reject it if it's the Word of God. Go back and look at the Scriptures. See if it's true. You say, well, I've heard it always taught that it's if it be thy will. Okay, go back and look at the Word and see if that's what Jesus did. I'll put it to you like this. If the minister, whoever it is, doesn't even have to be me. If they give you the Word of God and it proves out in two or three witnesses, and there's more than one place where it's true, and it proves out contextually, in other words, in the context of what's being said, it's true. And you look at it and you go, I don't believe you, preacher. It's not the preacher you have beef with. I need to say it again. It is not the preacher that you have a problem with. If it's the Word of God and you reject it, who do you have a problem with? Now, I'm going to help you with something. Because this happens all the time. People have situations that come. They have problems that they're facing. They have different areas of their life where they thought something should have gone one way and it didn't. And you know what happens? People develop doctrine out of circumstances. You cannot build a firm foundation off your experiences. It's impossible. If anybody is at fault when it comes to God's Word and Him doing His part versus us doing our part, who do you think needs to change? It's me that needs to change. It's me that needs to change. It is me that needs to change. But it doesn't feel good. I know. It doesn't. But it will in the end. It doesn't seem fair. Job tried this with God. Didn't he? Job tried this. I mean, Job, the book of Job's been twisted every which way from here to Sunday. But he tried this with God. God, why'd you let all this stuff happen? What did God show up and do? He explained himself, right? God explained himself. He explained to Job every one of his questions, right? No, he did not. He looked at Job and he said, Job, where were you when I created all this? Job's going, I don't know. Job, explain to me how I made a horse. I always wondered how you did that. God's not the problem, is he? Come on, how many of you sense that? God's not your problem. He's your solution. In the middle of your problem, we don't need to have an explanation of all the details of the problem. It's what are we going to do in the problem? The question is not, why, God? That is disrespectful. You're talking to God. And I know our culture has gotten so disrespectful. So disrespectful. In so many ways we have. I mean, I got to grow up. But you understand what I'm saying? It's disrespectful to talk to the Lord that way. The Lord is not looking at down into your situation and wondering what to do. He's looking for you to respond to Him in humility and faith. and go, okay, God, I know you got the answer here. I don't understand everything that's going on. You know, did Paul ever say he didn't understand? Yes. But in the midst of that, he said, I'm going to believe God. And sometimes when God comes to you, he's going to go, the reason why your situation is like this is because you disobeyed me here. You just decided to do your own thing here. For years, you haven't listened to me in this area. Come on. So what do we need to do? Humble ourselves and repent. Yeah. Why? Because God's got your best interest at heart. It's terrible right now. Yeah, but weeping may endure for a night. But joy comes. It's coming. It's coming. Come on, say it with me. It's coming. Joy's coming for me because I'm repentant. I change. I receive grace through faith. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, thank you. Man, you helped us so much, Lord. I can't do any of this without you. You are so on time and always good. You help us so much. Lord, we worship you and honor you. We thank you for your presence here today. We know that as we go, that your hand is with us and you're leading and guiding us and protecting us. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week. Sorry I went a little bit over, but it was worth it. We'll see you Wednesday. Don't forget about those books if you want to purchase one of those. And then next Sunday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.